It's easy to imagine the scene, especially if you've been to the wilderness of Judea. The desert where Jesus is tempted is not sandy, there are no dunes. It's rocky, harsh, inconceivably arid, very hot as the sun beats down. And to try to find some shade, you might get into the lee of a boulder or go down into the wadis that have been carved by seasonal river courses, cutting fantastical, twisted lines through the landscape. It's in this impossible, hallucinatory world that Jesus spends the 40 days and the 40 nights. And it's hardly surprising that he starts to hear a voice in his ear towards the end. Temptations, testings. The devil offering him what he thinks he wants or thinks he can be persuaded to want. Instant bread to satisfy his hunger. The glory of the kingdoms of the world. And as Jesus has to turn these three things down, he begins to learn obedience. It's really a story about obedience. It's a story about Jesus learning to subdue and submit his own will to the will of his heavenly Father. He's been sent, as we will discover in reading the Gospel onwards, to walk the hard road to Jerusalem, to go to Calvary, to give himself in love for us. That's his journey. And this morning, the devil is offering him various quick and easy shortcuts. And Jesus learns the way of obedience by refusing them and submits his will to the will of the Father. It's a story about obedience. Now, obedience is not a fashionable virtue in our age. It seems to conflict with that autonomy, that sense of self-worth and self-fulfillment. That's the ordinary way in which people now think about themselves and are taught to think about themselves. We think of obedience as having a role in life. We tend to think it belongs to the armed forces or the forces of law and order, situations where it's clearly necessary that orders should be given and they should be obeyed. But we don't like it in other bits of life. We chafe at being given commands at work. We like to be treated as equals, as members of a team. We like to feel that we've got some say in what it is that we're being asked to do, that our autonomy and sense of self-worth is being respected. But once you start to think about obedience in relation to children, you see something interesting. It's clearly necessary in many circumstances that children obey their parents. When mum or dad says, you really mustn't stick that screwdriver into the electric socket, it's crucially important that the children do as they are told. But what makes the difference in that situation is the love of the parent for the child and the love and trust that the child has for the parent. Love and trust completely transform the setting in which obedience is required and is given.